not confess before you this morning, we're asking, Lord, that you confess it now. While the blood is running warm in your vein. And we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
For little brother Tyreek and for our meal chorus, thank God for them. Let me say, I see two people that I haven't seen before, but I just want you to know that we welcome you here at the Mount Island Baptist Church. And hope something to be said today that will help you along the way. And maybe it called you to come back again. Also, we are grateful. I have to recognize Sister Mazik. I believe she drives about the furthest to come. Yeah, we thank God for her. Amen. And I just thank God for all of us. We have come into this new year, and God has blessed us, and he's going to keep on blessing. If you're going through a little something, that's all right. Just hold on. Remember, we all go through something every now and then. Amen. If you never go through anything, you won't be able to have a testimony.
That's right.
No test, no testimony.
That's right.
You'll be able to look back and see just how far the Lord has brought you. Amen. Well, the Lord brought me back to Samuel again.
All
right. Last time I told you the king wanted to see you, but we're going to the fourth chapter of 1 Samuel this time. The Bible teaches us that the Old Testament is for our learning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We get examples from, amen, things that happen in the Old Testament to help us today. In 1 Samuel chapter number 4. Now, I become from the whole chapter, but I'm not going to read that. I'm only going to read verse 17 through 22. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Need a little more time? Say hold on. After that, yes, somebody say hold on. Amen. That's all right. We're going to wait on you. Amen. That's all right. Yeah, all right. Beginning at verse 17, it says, so the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and they have been, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of the Covenant has been captured. Then it happened when he had mentioned of the Ark that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory had departed from Israel, because the ark of God had been captured, and because her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory had departed from Israel, and the ark of God had been captured." The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now thanking you for another preaching privilege. We ask now that you grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Just for a little while, I'm going to talk from a strange subject: losing God in religion.
Yes, sir.
Losing God in religion. Thank you, Jesus. Let me begin by saying that, as strange as that may sound, we can lose God or the glory of God in religion. Because over time, people can get so lost in the ritual and the form that they forget about the real reason why they're doing what they are doing. They focus on the ritual and forget about their relationship with God. Because our power comes from our relationship with God and not through rituals or religion. And so let me ask you, do you have, are you one who just look like a Christian without a close relationship with God? Because when we get our relationship with Jesus right, the rest of it will fall right in place. Get it wrong and nothing will ever be right. Because at the heart of it all, Christianity is about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so don't lose God in religion. In the text, Israel had to fight the Philistines and battle, but verse 4 through 11 reveals that Israel was badly defeated in battle. So they came back asking, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us the day before the Philistines?" Now, the question was right, but it wasn't addressed to God. They were just venting their frustrations without intentions of really seeking God. How do we know this? In the very next line of verse 3, we find them answering their own question. They said, "Let us bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord from Shiloh so that it may go with us and save us from the hands of our enemies." That will solve our problem. Just bring along the ark of God and we will win the war, since the ark is symbolic of God's presence. Now, in our text, the Ark of the Covenant represents God's presence for Israel. Now, the Ark was a wooden chest overlaid with gold and contained the golden jar of manna, Aaron's staff that budded, and the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, called the Hebrew 9 and 4. Its cover was made of pure gold with two cherubims hammered out in gold on the top. But this is more than just a symbol of the visible presence of God among the Israelites, but to lose the ark was tantamount in losing God. My brothers and sisters, is God missing in your life? Well, today's message is entitled "Losing God in Religion." Now, that might sound strange at first, because if religion is supposed to bring us close to God, then how is it possible to lose God in religion? My brothers and sisters, the text before us this morning will show us that it's very possible. And this incident in 1 Samuel 4 shows us how it happened to the Israelites and how it can also happen to us today. And so how can we lose God in religion? Well, first of all, you can lose God by emphasizing ritual over relationship, according to verse 1 through 5. Because at the very heart, Christianity is not about ritual, but rather a relationship with God. You see, God created us to know him and to live in relationship with him. And when we sin and broke our relationship. God has sent his son Jesus to restore that relationship. And so Christianity is about living in relationship with God who created us. But when we emphasize ritual over relationship, you actually lose God in religion. But now, that doesn't mean that all rituals are bad, because a ritual is simply a repeated pattern. In other words, anytime we sing the same worship song a second time, we engage in some kind of ritual. Anytime we close our prayer with the words in Jesus' name, we have participated in some ritual. But the question is, do we repeat the pattern without regard for God? Because, my brothers and sisters, anytime we take the forms of religion and separate them from God, we are emphasizing ritual over relationship. And so let's look at some of the ways that Israel lost God by emphasizing ritual over relationship with God. Well, first, they were dependent on human wisdom rather than God's word. Now, when you read verse 1 through 3, you'll get the picture. So here's the picture. Remember, the Israelites and the Philistines both set up their respective camps. The troops move out to meet in battle, and Israel was soundly defeated by the Philistines. We note the text says 4,000 Israelites died on the battlefield that day. Now, that's a pretty crushing defeat. Now, perhaps if you were Israel, you would perhaps go back and talk to God about this. Which reminds us in verse 1 that they did have a prophet available. God was speaking to Israel through Samuel at this time in history. And so Israel has a prophet, but they are not using him, and they're not talking to God. Instead, we find the elders conferring among themselves. But all my brothers and sisters, whenever you depend on human wisdom rather than God's word, you are emphasizing ritual over relationship. Because you see, a relationship is built on communication and trust. And that's why the proverb writer writes in Proverbs 3, 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But Israel didn't do that. They relied on human wisdom rather than God. Now, another way Israel lost God by emphasizing ritual over relationship is by trying to manipulate God for their own purposes. Note what the elders came up with in verse 3. They said, let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, so it may go with us and save us from the hands of our enemies. But note, if you will, that they didn't consult Samuel, nor did they seek God. But instead, they were trying to manipulate God into giving them the victory by bringing the ark into battle. But let us not leave ourselves out of this, because let me ask you, have you ever tried to manipulate God? Have you ever tried to strike a bargain with God? We talk about it now. We usually do this way. You say, Lord, if you do this and so for me, I do this for you. God, if you let my plane land safely at my destination, I promise you I'll serve you the rest of my life. Or even more, if you let me win the lottery, I'll give half of the money to the church. Boy, that struck a nerve, that did. Now, God, if you help me pass this test, I serve at Vacation Bible School this year. But my brothers and sisters, that's not a relationship, that's manipulation. And when we try to manipulate God, we lose him in the process. Now, another way of emphasizing ritual over relationship is by focusing on religious objects rather than God. Look at verse 3 and 4, and they said, let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh to us, so that it may go with us and save us from our enemy. But notice they are depending on it rather than him. Instead of saying, let us bring the ark of the Lord that he may go with us, so that he may save us from our enemy, they say, let us bring it, that it may save us. Well, now the ark is supposed to be the visible symbol of God's presence among the Israelites, but it was never meant to substitute for God himself. We know Deuteronomy 24 declares, "For the Lord your God is one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory." But the Israelites were trusting in the ark rather than God himself. And all my brothers and sisters, anytime we focus on a religious object rather than God, you're substituting ritual for relationship. Now, this can be a huge stumbling block for people even today, because there are people today who rely on cross necklaces, prayer beads, and supposedly pictures of Jesus and statues of saints to help them instead of simply trusting in God. Because my brothers and sisters, focusing on religious objects instead of God is superstitious at best and idolatry at worst. And so this is the mistake the Israelites made with the ark. They should have known better, because the very name of the ark implied relationship. That's why it was called the Ark of the Covenant, as a reminder of God's covenant relationship with Israel. And so the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. And they said it will give them victory rather than he. And so focus on religious objects rather than God, again, I say, is another way to emphasize ritual over relationship. But still another way to emphasize in ritual over relationship is expecting God's blessing without repentance. Note verse 4 and 5 reveals to us that Eli's two sons, by the name of Hophni and Phinehas, were with the ark. But now Hophni and Phinehas were the two sons who were abusing the priesthood. They were stealing money from the offering. They were sleeping with the women in the temple. And all Israel knew about it. Now here are two individuals in complete rebellion against God, but yet they're attending the ark, which is the visible symbol of God's presence among the Israelites. And so what was Israel's reaction when Hophni and Phinehas showed up with the ark? Well, it should have been to tear their clothes and pour ashes on their heads as a sign of repentance. But instead, they raised up a great shout of celebration. Israel expected God's blessing without repentance. But all my brothers and sisters, repentance for sin is critical to maintaining fellowship with God. You just can't hold on to your sin and have a relationship with God at the same time. You need to confess your sin to receive God's forgiveness. Because anytime we hold on to the forms of religion without true repentance, we are substituting ritual for relationship. But you cannot expect God's blessings without repentance. Once again, the Christian religion is full of form and rituals. There are churches. There are low churches. There are liturgical and non-liturgical churches. Now, none of these are bad in and of themselves, but anytime we emphasize ritual over relationship, we risk losing God in religion, just as Israel did. And secondly, you can lose God by following false religions, according to verse 6 through 9. My brothers and sisters, we can lose God by following a false religion. Now, we could use the example of the Israelite to learn about losing God within true religion, but we will use the Philistines as an example to learn about losing God by following false religion. And so how can we lose God by following a false religion? Well, first of all, by not recognizing the one true God through Jesus Christ. Note, if you will, in verse 6 and 7, when the Philistines heard all the hooping and shouting going on in the Israelites' camp, they checked to find out what was going on. And when they heard it was all because of the ark, they were afraid. But notice what they said about the ark. They say a God has come into their camp. In other words, the Philistines didn't recognize the one true God. They believed in many gods. And so they saw the Israelite God as just one of many. But you know, there are many religions in the world today, but only Christianity recognized the one true God. Hinduism do not recognize the one true God of the Bible. Buddhism does not recognize the one true God of the Bible. Paganism does not recognize the one true God. But then you might ask, what about Islam and Judaism? Don't they worship the same God who is revealed in the Bible? Well, the answer is yes and no, because both Islam and Judaism recognize the God of Israel from the Old Testament, but they do not recognize the fuller revelation that God has given of himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why the Hebrew writer writes, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets and in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us through his son. My brothers and sisters, apart from Jesus, there is no access to God. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, no one comes to the Father except through me. 1 John 2 and 23 says, no one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. How important is it to believe in Jesus? Well, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it is essential. The one true God is a Trinity. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And those who do not acknowledge Jesus as Lord do not recognize the one true God. They lose God in following false religion. And folk lose God also by holding on to misinformation. Look at verse 8, and the Philistines say, woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hands of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness or in the desert. Now the Philistines knew something about Israel's God. They knew that Israel's God was mighty. They knew that he had defeated the Egyptian, but they also had a lot of misinformation. For example, did you notice how they speak about Israel's God in plural? Previously, they spoke of him as a God, and that is one in the midst of many, but now they speak of him as gods, as if Israel served many gods, that the strength came from the numbers rather than his being. They also have the part about the plagues all mixed up, because God worked the plagues in Egypt, in their own country, and not in the wilderness, or not in the desert. Now you might wonder, somebody say, well, what's the big deal? So what if someone doesn't quite get it right? But my brothers and sisters, that's the whole problem, because so many people who reject God and Christ today do so on the basis of misinformation. They reject Christ without really understanding what Christianity is all about. Now, in David Kinnaman's Gabe Lyon's book on unchristian, it talks about what the present generation thinks about Christianity. And the research showed that respondents viewed Christianity primarily, one, as hypocritical, saying one thing and doing another. Yeah. Two, focus on getting converts, that's viewing people as targets. Three, anti-homosexual, they say that's bigoted. Sheltered, yes, Lord, that means that we are old-fashioned and we are out of date, out of in touch with reality and bored. And fifth, we're too political, motivated by conservative political agenda. And sixth, we're judgmental, quick to judge others. But my brothers and sisters, that's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about God's love, his mercy, and his grace. Christianity is about Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again. But apparently that's not the message we're getting across, because people are losing God in religion because they're dealing with all sorts of misinformation. Perhaps those of us who know what Christianity is, we need to do a better job of letting people know what Christianity is really all about. But now another way of losing God or following false religion is by believing you can fight against God and win. Because we note in verse 9, it revealed that the Philistines thought And if they would just fight hard enough, they could beat the God of the universe. And ironically, Brother John, they did defeat the Israelites, and they did capture the ark. But trust me, Brother Crowell, they didn't defeat God. God let them win. It wasn't no contest. It's like when your kids are about 4 and 5, and you let them win at arm wrestling. Yeah, Job tells us that God stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. And all my brothers and sisters, you can't fight against God and win. And yet so many people try. Some people are willing to do about just anything rather than serve the Lord. They fight against him their whole lives, and they lose out on a relationship with God in the process. But finally, I see y'all getting drowsy. Thirdly, nothing is worse than losing God, according to verse 10 through 22. But my brothers and sisters, you can lose God in religion. You can lose him by emphasizing ritual over relationship. And you can lose him by following a false religion. But there's one last thing our text teaches us this morning, and that is nothing is worse than losing God. Losing God is worse than defeat. Now we see in this report of the ox capture to Eli, we note verse 10 through 12 reveals that the Israelites were defeated again. The ark captured, and Eli's two sons were killed. And so on that same day, the Benjamite arrived from battle at Shiloh with his clothes torn and dust on his head as a sign of mourning and repentance. Remember now, that should have been Israel's attitude earlier. And perhaps if it would, it was, they would not have suffered defeat. Now, old man Eli was sitting in his chair by the side of the road, and he was waiting on the news about the battle. And so when the Benjamite entered town with the news, the whole town sent up a great cry. Now Eli at this time was 98 years old, and when he heard the noise, Eli asked the man, what's happening, son? And the man replied, Israel fled from the Philistines, and the army has suffered a heavy loss. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they are dead, and the Ark of the Covenant has been captured. And when Eli heard that, he fell backward off the chair on the side of the gate, and he broke his neck and died. For he was old and heavy, and had served Israel for 40 years. Now notice Eli fell backwards and broke his neck and died, not when he heard about the defeat of Israel, not when he heard about the heavy loss, not even when he heard about the death of his sons, but when he heard about the capture of the ark and realized that God had lived, he just fell backwards and broke his neck and died. And we got to remember that the ark represented the visible symbol of God's presence among the Israelites. And that the very fact that the ark was captured meant that God had already left them to themselves. And they had lost God in religion by emphasizing ritual over relationship. The capture of the ark was simply a confirmation of Israel's sad state at this time, because losing God, I tell you, is worse than defeat. Losing God is worse than death itself. When you lose God, you lose everything. That's why the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul? I tell you, nothing is worse than losing God. Nothing can compensate from losing God in your life. And so as I try to move to the close, for this we look at the account of Phinehas' wife in verse 19 through 22. Now poor Phinehas' wife is so upset that when she heard about the loss of the ark, she goes into labor and she gave birth. But she doesn't live herself. Her father-in-law is dead. Her husband is dead. And now she's dying too. and she names a baby boy Ichabod, which means no glory, saying the glory had departed from Israel, for the ark of God had been captured. And oh, my brothers and sisters, there are some churches whose doors are open. There are some preachers who are standing in the pulpit. There are some teachers teaching in the Sunday school. There are some choirs singing in the choir stand. There are some ushers ushering at the door. But they ought to put a sign over it all and say, Ichabod, the glory of God.